is going to speak to us. And after that, we'll have Dr. Dorcas Dow from Burkina Faso to speak to us. She's a missionary. And Leah will do the introduction after Serena speaks. So, Serena, you want to come up here first? And I always call her my little Serena. We just pray for you that God will continue to grow stronger and stronger in your life. We know that you are dedicated to Him. You serve us here, and wherever you are, I know you'll be serving the good Lord. We thank God for you. And we pray a special anointing for you as you graduate from high school and enter another phase of your life. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen.
Hello, everybody. I'm Serena. So, I just graduated on Thursday. And next year, I'll be going to the University of Illinois in Urbana-Champaign. So I will not have the fortunate pleasure of coming here every Sunday in the fall. So I'm going to start off with reading 1 Thessalonians 1, 2 through 4. It's to you guys. I always thank God for all of you and pray for you constantly. As I pray to our God and Father about you, I think of your faithful work, your loving deeds, and the enduring hope you have because of our Lord Jesus Christ. I know, dear brothers and sisters, that God loves you and has chosen you to be His own people. So I had a hard time putting together what I wanted to say today because I've been a part of this church for my entire life. Every possible life milestone I've had, from my first steps to my first broken bone to final day of high school, has been followed by a Sunday spent at Living Water. And whether I was aware or not, this place has planted the seeds of who I have become. So how is one supposed to comprise the most profound experiences and revelations they've had into one short speech? I'll begin with what I've learned is the core of Christianity, loving God and all your neighbors with all your heart. Other than my parents, who have always modeled loving others, Sally was the first Christian figure in my life to show what it meant to love as a Mennonite. She showed me the enormity and endlessness of God's love and how, as followers, we are meant to share that with the rest of the world. Although I didn't have the big click with God immediately, Sally gave me the ground to build my faith upon. Stephen came along soon afterward as yet another model of the deep love we are meant to have for everybody. Through his countless examples of Christians and non-Christians alike who showed love to their neighbors, even when they were put in harm's way, and his own example of always welcoming others and looking for ways to love those in and outside the church, I have my big click. I got the itch to have everyone feel God's love by doing as much as I could to model it to them. Without the role models in this church, who opened my eyes to who Jesus is, I would not have that. After having this revelation rooted in me, a new itch formed. It first began when one summer, Stephen had a group of us teens read the book, But I Don't See You as Asian, and had conversations I'd never had about race before. We ended the summer with a retreat, and there I had the first of many conversations about all the injustices in our world. And I started to feel the new itch. This itch was to learn more about the injustices people in our world face, and try to do something about it. Living Water was my top source of learning, given that so many of you work for nonprofits that advocate for groups of people that are mistreated or are part of the immigrant population that's attacked by our government or come from a country where there's targeted violence or are strong advocates for causes that I'd never heard of if I didn't go here. This fall, my two itches and I had a revolutionary experience at the Christian Community Development Association conference that my mom took me to. And all that I have learned from this church about being a Mennonite, the issues in our world, and the love that is meant for all, came together to me to make so much sense. And both my urge to love and fight for social injustice against social injustice were invigorated. As my mother reminded me multiple times while I was writing this, all this is about God, so I should address what God has done for me through this church. One of the biggest gifts this church has given to me has been the opportunity to lead worship with Hafa, not just because it was with the great Hafa Shimon Elbidi, but because the moments I have felt the Holy Spirit the most were while standing in front of you all doing the benediction. Typically, it'd be after a bunch of people had come to share very emotional, heartfelt, profound things after there'd been a really moving sermon. And I would stand before you guys, and as I was trying to pray, I'd feel this rush of every emotion, and I'd want to cry and laugh and scream all at the same time. And I knew that God was present between all of us, moving through us, and I'd try to get the benediction prayer as I was holding back tears. I don't know if you guys noticed, but it happened a few times. So now as I'm heading into the next stage of my life, there isn't much that I know I want to do, but the only things that I know I want to do have come from this church. I know that I want to travel the world and experience the amazing cultures that I know exist because of the privilege that I've had to do the Cambodian dancing and watch the Unity Choir perform. I know that I want to work with kids because of all the parents of this church that have let me babysit and get to know their amazing children. And I know that I want to live a life filled with the love that each person in this church has shown to me. Going forward, I get to take God with me, but I don't get to take this church. And I have so much to be grateful for that has come from Living Water. I don't think I appreciate all of it enough in the moment, but now I'm aware of how lucky I was to have the amazing friendships from youth group and Tuesday senior high and all our fun retreats, and the beautiful potlucks at the beach with delicious food, the hugs and smiles that each of you greeted me every Sunday, no matter the week that I had, the walks home with my grandma that I got to spend very precious time talking to her with, and the adorable children running around the service every Sunday, and ultimately the beautiful, unique community of this church that isn't found anywhere else. So thank you to each and every one of you for making this church what it is.
So a blessing for you, Serena, and this is kind of inspired from Numbers 27 about the stories of the daughters of Zelophehad, which I don't know about you, but that wasn't high on my curriculum growing up, being taught about the daughters of Zelophehad. And I'm going to give you a synopsis of it right quick. This is the SIV version, the Stephen International version. You have five daughters, Mahla, Noah, Hogla, Milcah, and Tarzah, whose father has passed away. And this is a big deal because in Torah at that point, if they're all property, all the name goes only through the male heir. And so when this happens, these five sisters go to Moses and they say, "That ain't right." And Moses kind of goes, "Who are you? This is the Torah of God. Y'all have lost your mind." And so he turns to God and said, "You listen to these ladies, they're saying this is wrong." And God said, "They right. Change it." And they rewrote the Torah. So in that spirit, Serena, may you learn what is right from God. May you learn what is true from God. May you learn what is justice from God. And may you learn it so well that when someone or something, even in Torah, happens to go against what God has taught you, may you be like the daughters of Zelophehad. May you ask questions, even questions of God. Not because you doubt God has answers, rather the contrary. You ask questions because you expect God, the one who has taught you what is right, the one that has taught you what is true, the one who has taught you what is justice. You have faith that God has answers. Amen.
I know I'll miss you. And now we're going to ask Leah to come up and introduce Dr. Dorcas. Okay.
I invited the other Burkina Bay to join me, since so we're going to introduce together. So, why not? There's only a few of us. Come on. So it's our pleasure to introduce Dr. Dorcas Dah from Burkina Faso. I found out this week that she's actually met my father before, so we met today, but you know my family. We're all family. Dorcas is a lay preacher with the Protestant Evangelical Church in Burkina Faso. She's also the founder and president of the Evangelical Association for the Joy and Development of Women. And she is the author of the book, Women Do More Work Than Men. Amen. Amen. So we're going to Arsen. she's going to share with us a little bit about her work. It's a pleasure to have you here, Arsen.
Okay. I'm going to pray in French. Père qui es aux cieux, nous voulons être reconnaissants ce matin parce que nous savons que des moments comme ça, tu les as planifiés et tu as contribué à ce que cela puisse arriver. Je te dis merci pour la grande sœur Dorcas. Je te dis merci pour sa vie et pour le travail qu'elle fait. Merci parce que même dans les heures où il y a des doutes, où il y a des difficultés, tu as été avec elle. Et c'est la preuve que tu ne nous abandonnes jamais. Nous voulons te la confier maintenant, alors qu'elle veut parler de ce qu'elle fait, que tu prépares nos cœurs et nous aides à entendre ta voix au travers de ce qu'elle va dire et comprendre exactement ce à quoi tu nous appelles au travers de ce qu'elle va nous présenter maintenant. C'est au nom de Jésus que nous avons prié. Amen.
Merci beaucoup, Léa et Arsène. Thank you, Léa and Arsène, for the introduction. And I want to say thank to God because he gave up his only begotten son so that we can become one family regardless of our origins. And that's amazing for me in the Christian faith. And I want to thank God for this church, for Pastor Kristen and the entire church for inviting me to speak this morning during the service. And I thank God for our newly graduated student. We pray that the Lord bless and be with you wherever you go. He can make ways where there seems to be no way, so he will be with you. What I want to speak about is basically reflected in one of the passages of today, Matthew 25:35-36. And I want to start by quoting Kosuke Koyama, a Japanese theologian, who said that people need good neighbors much more than they need good theologies. Growing up within three African countries, that is, Burkina, being born in Ghana and going to study in Cote d'Ivoire and going back to Burkina Faso to continue my studies and then ending back in Ghana, I realized that many women among us had not been to school. And so in 2000, I started praying and asking the Lord, God, help me. I want to dedicate my entire life to serve you, but how can I be useful to these women out there who have not had the chance to go to school or who wants to go to school and are not just favored by our tradition? So 2010, I was able to gather a few women in the southwest of Burkina Faso, and we started what we call the Evangelical Association for the Joy and the Development of Women. That's how we started and got registered in 2014. At that time, I was still studying in Ghana, doing my master's in theology. Then, after I completed my PhD in 2015, I was doing a postdoctoral fellowship still in Ghana, and I was to do research in Burkina Faso on spirituality and hope in Africa. I go back to the southwest of Burkina Faso in May and meet young girls preparing to come down to Ghana to come and work in order to go back to pay for their school fees, via rent, and take care of themselves. And as I started inquiring, I realized that I got to know that some of them were living in unfinished houses. And I said to myself, oh, what is my theology of hope if it cannot be practical in these young ladies' lives? So I was challenged to start what I called the House of Hope for Young Women. And as I'm talking to you today, we have 16 young women, 12 of them staying in one home, and 12 others in another house. And we started, we found that because they have left on their own, sometimes they give into all sorts of practices, and we started what we call the Seminar of Hope for Young Women. 2017, we had 33 young women who came, and we taught them in the Word of God and practical issues about life and the consequences of illegal migration across borders. And some of the young women were like, we never knew that we were created in the image of God. And we kept blaming God for creating us as women because society has made up to believe that we are worth nothing. And after they heard the scriptures, they said they wanted to confess and really pray to God to forgive them. Then this year in March, we had another camp meeting and 93 girls came out. And the topic was on overcoming the wounds of life. The last day we had testimonies from the girls who testified about how they were abandoned by their fathers. Some of them are orphans and they are just battling with life. They don't know what to do. And some of the topics we discussed, they said they had never known that as Christians, they were not supposed to do those things, but they were going to rededicate their life to God. Now, coming back to our scripture, Matthew 25:35-36, it said, "For I was hungry, and you gave me food. I was thirsty, and you gave me drink. I was a stranger, and you welcomed me. I was naked, and you clothed me. I was sick, and you visited me. I was in prison, and you came to me." I just summarized this text by saying that all these states mentioned here by Christ are states in which when you find yourself, you will never be in comfort. They are states of discomfort in a human being life. So how can I say I am a Christian serving God while I cannot bring solace to the hearts of these young women disappointed by their life experiences in their society due to socio-religious belief, loss of parent for some of them, rejection for some of them because they converted to Christianity and their parents are for traditional background? And as Kwesi Dickson says, he's a Ghanaian theologian, "A theology that does not take its social context into consideration is a useless theology." So my theology would be useless if God has given me the chance to come through a society like this and I just keep quiet over the issues of other girls coming after me. So I decided to serve them, serve God through serving those young women, because I believe that they are also created in the image of God and they are not just second-class citizens. and something needs to be done to help them so that they can be empowered to contribute to life regardless of where they come from. And when this book, I wrote it on the contribution of women to the growth of the church in West Africa, looking at Burkina Faso, Cote d'Ivoire, and Ghana. Sometimes when we mention the title in Ghana, people are like, what title is this? What do you mean? Be still. What I'm communicating is all about mission. How women, regardless of the difficulties that they go through, have gone extra mile to contribute to Christian history. Some of them have contributed the pennies that they have to build churches, to pay for people to train in Bible schools. They form their own association, denominational, interdenominational, cross-country, and even at the international level, to break away with cultural barriers and to come together so that the gospel can spread in the world. This book is all about that, the extra mile, the extra activities they have to do to contribute to mission. Let me run up this morning by asking God to bless all of you here and all of us present in his house. We thank God for what he has done in the life of our younger sister here. I'm happy that you can graduate and go to school. And that's what we are praying, that other girls in some part of Africa will also have the opportunity to do. We are thanking God for our fathers. Today is Father's Day. We are not ignorant of what you do in your families, in your wives, and in your children's life. We pray that God bless you. And we are also thanking God for Pastor Christine and for the entire church's life. May the Lord bless and keep you all. Amen.
I think we could pray for our sister here and the work that she's doing. And so would anybody like, who would like to come up and pray with her?
We thank you, Lord, for Dr. Dorcas and for touching her heart, touching her mind, touching her spirit to see that theology needed to be practical and have skin on it. Noticing these women that were neglected, abused, not thinking that they were created in your image, and wanting to really spread a theology of hope that was practical and empowering. So we pray that you would continue to multiply her efforts and increase the resources available and help her develop leaders among these women to keep spreading this movement. So we thank you that the gospel has good news for women in Burkina Faso and West Africa, and that these women are discovering the power of that and carrying it on. So bless her, Lord. Bless her and come against any opposition against her. We pray this in your name, Jesus. Okay, and let all God's people say, yeah. Amen. Thank you. Thank you.
On the table over there, there's a little pamphlet which explains, tell you more about her and her work, I should say. And if you would like to buy her book, do you have any here, Sister Dorcas? Yeah, she has. And if you would like to contribute in any way towards her work, you're free to do so. Okay? All right. If you have questions, anything you would like to ask her, give you a few minutes to do that, or anything else you would like to come up here and say.
Morning, Church. My name is Annie. I just want to thank you, Ms. Dorcas, for what you shared today. It was really beautiful to hear your story and your passion for women and girls. Just bless you on your way. I want to say two quick things about, one about Serena. Serena, how old were you when you got baptized? Sixth grade, 12 years old. She wrote an incredible essay at that time about, as far as I remember it, just like her love for human beings and how she felt God had given her a mission to just show love to humans in the world. And I remember Jason, my husband, saying to Elsie at that time something like, I would cut off my right arm for one of my kids to write something like that when they're 12. And that is true. And so I just want to thank you for the light and the love that you have personified here amongst us. I can say as a parent of children that you have many, many times babysat and played with and cared for, I just think you are an incredible young woman for other kids and young people to look to and see so much grace and goodness in. The other thing I just wanted to share, a couple of weeks ago, David and I came forward and asked for prayer about a sort of neighborhood schools campaign that we're a part of. We just had our first community meeting this past week about that, and it was disastrous and incredibly discouraging and disheartening, and all those really scary racial dynamics that I mentioned were in full force. And we botched the sort of structure of that meeting, and the way that we thought it would go was not at all how it went. And it was just incredibly painful and continues to be just a few days later. And so I would just continue to welcome your prayers and encouragement and solidarity in this very complicated thing we're trying to do for our kids of this neighborhood. And I think it's just awakening a lot of the history in our country and then history of this very specific relationship between these two schools, and it's just very layered and difficult. And I was just thinking this morning, though, like how kind of one of the reasons I like stay with Christianity is that I think Jesus really, really taught us this new way to be human. And this way to be human that really just demands that we see each other's humanity and respect each other's dignity. And I feel like in this particular situation, I've been praying for my enemies for a lot of years. And I just really want to keep doing that and keep seeing them as humans with dignity. And just pray that all of us could find a way to do that. Because there was a lot of rejection of dignity in this screaming match that this meeting became. So I just really want to ask for prayers for wisdom and a way forward where there seems to be no way forward.
Come on up, people. God, we just want to acknowledge that sometimes things are messy. And like Annie said, too, it doesn't mean that your way is any less true. But sometimes it's messy. And it's difficult. And God, I just pray your blessing on Annie, on David, on others, on our community, for our schools of Newfield and Eugenefield, God, for the parents, the leadership, all that's in the midst of it, God, that you will continue to remind us of seeing each other in dignity, to see each other as human beings. That when there's things we just can't do, God, that you will bring a spirit of peace that we don't have the tools to be a part of. And then when there's times, God, for us to find ways of stepping up together to join you in that work, to bring peace to that, may we do so. And in this, God, may you just be with us. May you be with the people who are working in it. May you bring peace, God. May everyone see that everyone is wanting to do the best for each other. And may you give whatever's needed for it. For this situation, for the neighborhood of Rogers Park, for our nation, for our world, God. These are tough but important conversations to have on a variety of different levels. May you give us the tools to be a part of it, God. And we believe that your kingdom is a part of it.
And God, I ask specifically that you will raise up the right voices to move this conversation forward in the way that it needs to go. I pray that you will specifically raise up voices that can shift this dynamic in the racial tension that has arisen in the conversation about trying to join these two schools together. And that those who need to sit down and be listeners will be able to sit down and be listeners. But we just ask that you will bring forth those voices, God, into this conversation to move it forward. And I thank you for Annie's steadfastness. And I just pray for peace and wisdom for her.
Lord, we pray especially for Annie and David and other leaders here in this conversation that you would protect and defend them, Lord, from slurs and accusations, and that your spirit would be very, very close to them day by day, Lord, in helping them to discern all that comes to them, Lord, and helping them to persevere. And so give them a sense of clarity about what is true and what is right and what is needful. We pray, Lord, that you would give them new partners in this conversation, Lord, that can bridge the gaps. And yet, Lord, we know that from your own example, the only way to show that everyone is deserving of respect and dignity is often somebody being willing to step forward and receive inhumanity and attack, Lord. And so we just pray again for those leading this conversation that you would protect them and defend their hearts and minds and spirits, even as they try and respond not in kind, but with what they know to be true and what they know to be beautiful and what they know to be the way forward. Mm-hmm. We ask all of this in Jesus' mighty name and by the power of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Amen.
Thank you.
Thank you so much for your message. I'm our son's wife, Emily. What you talked about with the girls saying that they didn't know, that they were made in the image of God, it reminded me of, I've started a new job in March, and I'm a nurse, and I'm working as a case manager for Medicaid patients all around the state. And I'm a complex case manager, so I'm working with some of the sickest people in the state, trying to help them get the medical care that they are entitled to. And it's been really eye-opening. I've been a nurse for a long time, and I thought I had seen a lot of sick people, but I've seen the sickest people. I don't see them because I'm on the phone, but I've worked with the sickest people I've ever worked with. And they have become so used to being mistreated that they forget, they stop fighting for themselves. And one of my patients this past week told me that he's just sick and tired, and he's just going to take whatever scraps that he can get at this point. And he was in a car accident when he was 16, had a spinal injury, is a double amputee, and has very severe wounds and infections. And I've been working every day to try to get him what he needs. And so I've had a little bit window into his life. And I am also extremely frustrated because it's so hard to get good medical care. And good medical care is basically like treating someone with respect and recognizing what their needs are and helping them get those needs. And he has a lot of providers who don't do that. And I've been feeling like I don't know what to do and feeling hopeless and just praying because I don't know what else to do. And I just wanted to say that because I feel like that's where a lot of people are when they don't know where to go and how to be treated with dignity, and they forget that they are worthy of that as well.
Lord, we thank you for Emily. Thank you for the hard work you have given her. But Lord, you gave it to her because you are with her. And I pray that you will direct her, and that in times of frustration, she may just lean on you and seek your direction, the word she should speak, the letter she should write, whatever it is, Lord, to commit her to you and pray that you will help her in this difficult work. Because people really do need help and really do need someone who is compassionate and caring. So, Lord, there's so much in the world, so much suffering, so much people that are left behind, people that are ignored. Father, help not only Emily, but all of us to be aware of this and to put our faith in practice, to put what we learn from Jesus in practice, so that we may truly be a help to those in need. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Quick announcement. If anyone's driving or had parked a red Chevy SUV in the back, they're blocking someone in the parking lot. So if anyone's here, if you don't mind moving that, that'd be great. Thanks.
Though I've been out, I realize, having talked with Ron when I came in, that there's been a lot of sharing about abuse, so we would like to pray for the victims of abuse at this time. So, sure. Oh, gracious God, we offer the sharings that have been offered to us today, and we pray for those who are victims of the abuse. We pray for those, God, who have trusted a father or a significant adult man in their lives and has been let down and has been wounded. And we just pray for we thank you, God, that you are Jehovah Rapha, that you are healer. And we pray that you would enter in to each situation of abuse that is still fresh in the mind and in the heart, that you would break in and that you would provide healing.
Pray, God, that each person who might be a survivor would sense your love for them and know in the deepest parts of their being that they are made in your image, that you would surround them with people who see them, see their dignity and their value and worth. Ask for your healing. I pray in the name of Jesus. Amen.
I think this is a long day. I think the kids are back. Yes, and so such a pleasure to be here today, to be prayed for, to fellowship.
Let us close our service today with that prayer that Paul prayed for the Ephesians. Could you stand, please? And then I think it will be good for all of us to read it, meditate on it as we go along. Okay? For this reason, I kneel before the Father, from whom every family in heaven and on earth derives its name. I pray that out of his glorious riches, he may strengthen you with power through his Spirit in your inner being, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. And I pray that you, being rooted and established in love, may have power together with all the saints to grasp how wide and long and high and deep is the love of Christ. Amen.
Sorry.
Now to him who is able to do immeasurably more than all we ask or imagine, according to his power that is at work within us, to him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations, forever and ever. Amen. I was leaving out the best part, huh? Okay. As saints of Christ, let us go forth to do his work. Amen. And remember that Dr. Dorcas is here. You can get a book from her.
Things going on.